Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the end of our current series of studies, The Fruits of the Christian Life. And you will remember that the Lord Jesus gathered his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion and asked them to be fruitful and to bring forth that which would be pleasing to God. He says, I am the true vine, you are the branches, I'll help you. I'll be your strength, but bring forth the fruit. Now, there are 3 degrees of fruit mentioned there. Fruit, much fruit, or much fruit, and it climaxes with the 15th verse of this 15th chapter of John. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, the fruit is not defined as generic here. But in the rest of the New Testament, we have found the different kinds of fruit that are so pleasing to God. Fruit is delectable, especially in those days when they could not preserve it and had to eat it vine fresh and tree fresh, ripened fruit, and it was delectable. Now, this just gives a little hint at how God values what we are doing for Him. Now, on this last study, we wish to consider the fruit of worship. And we read in Hebrews chapter 13 these words. We have an altar, verse 10 of the 13th chapter of Hebrews, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate of Jerusalem. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we seek no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, Israel had their sacrifices, but Christ was the end of those sacrifices. He was the Lamb of God that takes away sin. The sacrifices led to Christ. But the tabernacle was no more valuable to God. It was to the Jewish people. They rejected Christ. They thought they had to go on with those sacrifices. But now the Apostle Paul says, let's go forth outside of the camp to Christ. And then in verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Oh yes, even Gentiles have a sacrifice now. It's a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Yes, this indeed is the fruit of worship, the fruit of our lips. And God wants our thanksgivings. And that's what he says here. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. Giving thanks in his name. Now, even in the Old Testament, God wanted his people to give thanks. God has been always after the heart. He says, Son, give me thine heart. And in the 50th Psalm, a Psalm of Asaph, we read there in verse 7 of the 50th Psalm, Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Now listen to what Asaph has to say. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or burnt offerings to have been continually before me. They were bringing their sacrifices very faithfully, but they were doing it by rote. They weren't really, their hearts were not in it. They were doing it because they thought they had to do it, and that God had required it of them, which he had. But let's go on. God says, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? This is sarcasm on the part of God, and how biting his sarcasm can be. He says, why are you bringing these sacrifices? I want the product of the heart. Did you think I was hungry? Is that why you're bringing them? And then he says, in verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Offer unto God thanksgiving. I want your heart in it. And you know, thanksgiving is a product of the heart. Thanksgiving owns our dependence upon God. It owns what He has done for us. And thanksgiving is a product of the heart. You cannot really render thanks without putting your heart into it. And we have so much to thank God for. And now here we go. And the children of Israel have given us a lesson here. And their rebuke we might take to our own hearts as well. I think that there's a danger in getting involved in Christian service to the point that we become involved in what we're doing instead of for whom we are doing it, for God Almighty Himself. And He is the one that has done so much for us, and He wants our fellowship. He wants us in His presence. And that's why we read there in that portion of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 13 that God asks us to come into His presence. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I want you in my presence. That is the fruit of our lips. I want you talking with me. You know, I'm reminded of that wonderful verse in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. Third chapter of Revelation, verse 20, where the Lord Jesus stands outside of the door of the church of Laodicea, and He stands at our heart's door. And He says there, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. I want some time with you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to give the sacrifice of praise. And here, indeed, Eden is reversed. You know, God brought man into this world that he might fellowship with him. Satan saw that this creature that God had just created and had made, incidentally, the Lord of all creation. He put all the animals under Adam. And I think that was really Satan's realm before he fell. Now, Satan said to himself, I must stop this. And so he poisons man with sin. Now, God comes down into the garden in the cool of the day looking for fellowship with Adam. And he has to say, Adam, where art thou? Adam had a guilty conscience. He disobeyed. He hid himself among the trees of the garden. And now you know, God has just done everything He can to bring man back into His fellowship. And He does it by the way of the cross. Certainly you and I have so much to thank God for. And it's wonderful to note that in the last of the book of the Scriptures, this is in contradistinction to the first of the book where we see man alienated from God by Satan's subtlety. We see at last, in the book of Revelation, Satan is put into the bottomless pit. He's put there. He's put into the lake of fire. And we see there in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. He wants to. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them. And be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. We see that all reversed in the book of Revelation. Satan is put into the lake of fire. We have a new heavens and a new earth, and now at last God has His heart's desire and is dwelling with men, and He wants to dwell with men. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, in that 50th Psalm, we read there and we go on, as we have already mentioned, offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I'll give you something to be thankful for. When you get into trouble, come to me. Commit your cause to me, and indeed I'll give you something to be thankful for. I will deliver you. And now going back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, again, we read in that next verse, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now you notice that the praise of the lips and the praise or the sacrifice of the pocketbook, and that's what is meant here before the communication is giving, but to do good and communicate, forget not, we can worship Him both ways. We can worship Him by what we give back to Him. He has given so much to us, and now we can give back to God. And we can indeed offer these offerings to Him, both the sacrifice of the lips and the sacrifice of the pocketbook, because we just by that way show our thankfulness to God, show our gratitude to Him for what He's done for us. He's done so much. Now, God wants our sacrifice. He wants our worship. Really, I suppose, strictly speaking, in praise, we thank God for what He's done. In worship, we thank God for what He is. But what He has done has led us to see what He is, our God, the one who wants to fellowship with you and me, and how wonderful that we can give Him that opportunity. Now, in this series of studies, do remember, please, our theme verse, and let's not forget that. If we can't remember anything else, let's remember this. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Are we bearing fruit? Are we fruit-bearing Christians? Are we bringing to God that which pleases Him? I trust that this series of studies on the fruits of the Christian life will indeed inspire us to go through all these fruits, the fruit of good works, the fruit of giving, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the worship, and give that to the God who has done so much for us. May our love for Him continue, and may we be fruitful Christians indeed. Our Father, we come into Your presence at the close of this broadcast and the close of this series, thanking You for what Your Word has told us, how we may please You. We're so glad that You're pleased with us, in Christ, of course, not with us in ourselves, but we do thank You for the Lord Jesus and all He's done for us. In His name, amen.